Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Give the Lord a praise today and thank Him for the opportunity to teach, preach, and heal. And we're right here in class at KCBC, and I'm telling you, I told you this the last time I taught here, and I'm going to tell you again, if you can't preach to this group, forget it. You can't preach, brother. Now, I realize because of scheduling and so forth that these broadcasts were several weeks apart, and well, more than just weeks. And that won't happen again because it really needs to be back to back so we can refer to things on a more closer basis. But that ain't gonna happen anymore. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. We open our hearts. We open our minds for revelation from heaven to receive insights and ideas and concepts of living the life of faith, hope, and love. But most of all, we would see this Jesus. Glory to God. And we thank you and we give you praise and honor and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. First thing I want to do, I need to make a correction. Go to the 40, Genesis chapter 40. Verse 21, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief butler as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I said three more years, and it was two. So I didn't want you to mess up. I'm the one that mess up, okay? Okay, now that that's settled, let's go back to Genesis chapter one. Back at the beginnings of the beginnings. In Genesis chapter 1, we're talking about the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. In fact, that being, hold your place there, and let's go to the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs chapter 10 is our golden text for these sessions, 10:22, and we're going to do some more discussion on this as we go this week. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now then, let's go back and read the blessing. Verse 28. God blessed them, Adam and his wife Eve, and God said unto them, be, yeah, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Do a study on the little word be. It is powerful. What does the word amen mean? So, be it. Light be light was. Oh, you want to get blessed. Take the time to look up the bees. All right. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's the blessing. Now, let me remind you of something. Once God puts something in the earth, you can't get it out. There ain't no devil in hell big enough. But that's what he tries to do. But he can't. Once it's in here for good. Once the word got in here, you can't get it out. Once Jesus got... Are you listening? Oh, yeah. Lord, I done preached me happy and I ain't been here 30 seconds yet. Glory to God. Now then, the blessing. Say it. The blessing of the Lord. Same blessing over Noah and his sons. Exactly the same. Said the same, very same word. Why? Starting over again. Nobody here but him. Nobody here but Noah. And we remember that Seth was the only one that stayed with the blessing. And like we said last time, that he, in studying Jewish history and so forth, he became Melchizedek, that's a title, means Lord Mayor of Salem, which became Jerusalem. And, you know, it's amazing when you stop and think that how closely connected was Abraham with Adam. It's only a few generations away. Particularly, Adam lived almost 1,000 years. 930 years. How could he live so long? He didn't know how to die. Satan had to get it in his mouth. Satan had to teach him how to talk. He talked to God. So he talked like God. Amen. And he's blessed. He's blessed. Whoa, glory to God. Now then, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go now to... I want to go back where we were studying about Joseph. So let's go back now to, where you want me to take that up, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go to 39th chapter of Genesis. There are some things, we studied that quite extensively, but there are a few more things here that I want you to see, and we're going to read in more detail this time. In thank you, Lord. Joseph, there's an interruption. Here we go. When Joseph first dream. In the 37th chapter in the fifth verse, Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, and shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Yet he dreamed another dream, and behold, it told his brethren, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and moon, and so forth and so on. And he told his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and brethren come to bow down before the earth? And his brethren envied him, for his father observed, saying, and his brethren went to feed their flock in Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to them, here I am. Now, when this occurred, he was 17 years old. Joseph was 17 when he dreamed his first dream. Look back at the first verse. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Now this is extremely important information. 17. Now, let's go over now to the 39th verse, the chapter. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. But he's just a boy. But he calls him a man here. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, we're going to see some things here. We'll get insight even deeper into the situation here. Now, notice. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Well, He's probably not but 19 years old, maybe 20. I don't think he was even that. He's just a young man. He doesn't know. He's not old enough to know anything. Had he had any kind of experience at all, he would have never gotten caught in there with her without anybody in there. He's just a kid. 18, 19. Well, no wonder she's after him. Boy, that's an eye-opener, isn't it? Amen? All right. He refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master walketh not, he does not know what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand, and I'm just a teenager." I'm very young. That makes this even more powerful. The blessing of the Lord had to teach him, had to raise him. His daddy hadn't raised him. His daddy petted him. His brothers hated him. Of course, this is the most important family on the face of the earth. Amen. Amen. The 12 tribes of Israel came out of that. So there had to be a prophet born into that family. Had to be, to keep it from destroying itself. And so there's so much insight into this. The Lord just pointed this out to me just here since the last time we were together on this. And I was restudying it and so forth and so on and so on. And I hadn't seen it long years ago, but it had just slipped my mind, my thinking, that he brought it back up to me and made it so strong. We get the insight, a deeper insight into this situation, and it will continue to show more as we go. He refused, saying, "I'm not going to do that. There's none greater in this house than I am, and they've kept nothing back. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it." You don't make decisions on the spot. Quality decisions are made before. A quality decision is a decision about which there is no more argument and from which there is no return. Now, Brother Copeland, yes, glory to God. I know we must walk in love. Well, you better do it every morning before you leave the house. Because if you don't, I know we ought to be doing that. I've just had this notion I ought to probably fast a couple of days. You fixing to eat six of the biggest meals you have ever eaten in all your life because you just let the devil know he don't know anything without you tell him. Amen. So what do you do? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for leading me to fast. I make the decision today. Food will not cross my lips this entire day. I will praise you and then take communion. They can't make you eat with a stick. Amen. That's a quality decision. Amen. Then write it down. God will back your word written when you back it with his word written. Ask me how I know. I used to weigh 100 pounds more than I do now. Amen. the fat man will never be back. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me now? All right. Quality decision. Decisions made based on the Word of God that you, and there's certain things you pray about and you never pray about them again. Never. You find out who you are in Christ Jesus. You find out what your calling is. Well, I thought I was called to preach. Oh, shut up. Well, I just don't feel like it anymore. Feelings. Five physical senses instead of walking by the Word. That's where your decisions have to be made. And I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say glory to God right here. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Glory. Now, I want to go back and remind you that the first sound the human ear ever heard, God created Adam. He became a living, speaking spirit like God, the Chumash says. But you have to remember, he didn't hear any of that. He became a living being. The first word he ever heard, be blessed, be fruitful. He wasn't fruitful until God said that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, also, we're talking now about how did Joseph, young man, never seen, he was just a farm boy, a petted farm boy. Didn't know anything about life. He knew nothing. He didn't know how to live. Praise God. And the blessing of the Lord had to teach him. What does that mean? That means the Spirit of God was teaching him. He's his teacher. Who is your teacher? Who is my teacher? The same Spirit of God who is the blessing of the Lord. Our golden text, of course, for all this week is Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, let's go back over here in the 39th chapter, verse 8. Where, for those of you that are just now tuning in, we have seen from the scripture that Joseph was only 17 years old when he dreamed his first dream. And then almost immediately, his brothers threw him in a cistern. King James said a pit, but it was a dry cistern, a place where that would hold water. And then he was taken out of there and brought down to Egypt. There was something else. Lord, what was... There's something else that I had on my heart about that yesterday. Thank you, Lord. 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 Okay. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Let's go to chapter 37. Thank you, Lord. The blessing is just working all the way through this. Let's go down to verse 11. His brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, or he wondered about what the dream meant. And his brethren went to feed their flock in Shechem. Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem, come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. Now, remember, he's only 17 years old. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him. He was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed here. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's the blessing of the Lord. He didn't know where he was. He lost out there. He's just a pampered 17-year-old kid that's never had to work a day in his life. And he's gotten out there and he's lost and they can't, and here, and God had this man right there. He had the man that just happened to hear that they were going to Dothan. Tell me what's happening here. Whoa! Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Now, in verse 20, come now, therefore, and let us slay him. When they saw him, after all, they came and just conspired against him to slay him. And they said to one another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him. We're going to kill him. Cast him into a cistern. And we will say, some evil beast has destroyed him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let's not kill him. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver them to him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat. His coat of many colors that was on him, they took him and cast him into the pit, into the cistern. The pit was empty. There's no water in it. They sat down to eat bread. They lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels. Well, just happened to be there on that day. On that road, yeah, right, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, and going to carry it down to Egypt. Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers were content, or they agreed to that. Now, I want you to read this carefully now. There passed by Midianite merchantmen. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph. They didn't even get to sell him. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But see, the blessing working for Joseph, curse working for them. And their plan just didn't work. But actually it was a blessing of the Lord, because then they didn't have, at least they didn't have that on their conscience. That's one of the things I wanted you to see. They passed the Midianite merchantmen, And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes and returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not. Notice they called him a child. And that's what he was. He's just a little boy. Just a 17-year-old spoiled kid. Praise God. Joseph rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, mourned for his son many days. I want you to notice, he did not inquire of the Lord. He just believed what the devil said. He should have, but he didn't. Anyway, now then, thank you, Lord. Show me which way to go with that, Lord. Yes. Back to Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now then, turn to the 120th or 27th Psalm. I use this every day. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Amen. He giveth his beloved sleep. David, would you bring me my phone right quick, please? Thank you, sir. Now, hang on a second. And we go to Psalm 127. To eat the bread of sorrows, pain, hurt, toil, labor, hardship, and then and down again, toil and hardship, toiling. That is in the number one translation of that word. Now, let's look at the the New Living, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to those He loves. Let the blessing do the work. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives His beloved sleep. The CSB, in vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, He gives sleep to the ones He loves. Man, I mean, that's an eye-opener, isn't it?
Yes.
We're not, we work hard because the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. But we don't work for a living. And remember this from Ephesians 4, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands that which is good in order to have to give to him that needs. That's why that we work for seed. We work on assignment. Amen. And I was watching it was so many years ago, I don't remember just exactly how the interview came about, but it was kind of on the street kind of a thing. And this interviewer was interviewing this young African-American young man, and he looked like maybe in his maybe young 20s or something like that. And what he said just hit me. He said, ain't nobody gonna give me no job. That's right. He don't know what a job is. Now, what is that? That comes from the plantation mentality, because nobody had ever taught him the difference. Nobody gonna give you a job. That's plantation talk. Hey, boy, pile that wood over there. When you get through, I got another job I'm gonna give you. You just go do what you're told to do and get your whooping and go to bed. A job solves a problem for somebody. Amen. Well, I ain't gonna work for no minimum wage neither. Well, you may miss the biggest opportunity of your life. Don't flip no burger. God may want, He may want that Burger King to belong to you. And you go in there with the blessing of the Lord. Oh, let me tell you a story. Bud Iglehart. Bud was just a kid out in California. And he wanted in aviation so bad. And he went out to the airport to get him a job. And so he asked the guy, nah, I got plenty of people. I don't need nobody. And he said, what if I work for nothing? Oh, what kind of stupid deal is that? Well, I want to learn. I want to be around mechanics. And could I work for nothing? Yeah, but I ain't gonna pay you nothing. So he got in there and went to work. And he'd sweep, he'd do whatever necessary. He just did whatever was there. And he's watching mechanics, and they're actually apprenticing him. And they're showing him, and he worked there for a couple of years and went into the boss and said, I've been doing this now for a couple of years or so. What can I get paid? No, I told you when you came in, I ain't giving you no pay. Well, can I have a uniform? No, you can't have no uniform. So he just went on with what he was doing and just kept working. He just smiling. He just being there. He just doing what was in front of him to do. And those mechanics, hey, this kid worked hard. He was there on time every day. He worked hard, and they taught him, and they were training this young man. So after 3 years, he went in there and said, and of course, the same answer was the same. So he said, well, I'm going to have to quit and go get a job because he said, I can't work for another. I know it. Go on, get out of here. So he went out and told the mechanics that, you know, he's going to have to leave. So they all got together and went into the boss and they said, you pay Bud or we're all leaving. What? See what happened? He became so valuable that the man couldn't do without him. Bud Iglehart eventually came to Kenneth Copeland Ministries and was one of the finest mechanics we ever had. I mean, Bud was so full of the Holy Ghost that and there was a day he flat saved my life one day. He just had it. He just couldn't let it go. He just absolutely couldn't let it go. There's something wrong with this airplane. There's something wrong with this airplane. And he went over it, 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 and the Lord showed him what it was, and it could have very well crashed on that particular flight. Problem with one of the control surfaces, or one of the fasteners, one of the bolts that held that aileron on. Anyway, came into me one day, and he said, Brother Kenneth, I got a real opportunity here. And he said, man, I don't want to leave here, but I got an offer from American Airlines. And I said, hey, bud, you better do that. He wound up supervisor at American's maintenance facility right here at Alliance, over 250 mechanics. I mean, maintenance personnel, not just mechanics. Man, you talk about a job. Let me tell you something, sister. That's a top drawer. But you see what happened to the little guy that would work for nothing? Minimum wage? Are you kidding? That's zero wages. And the blessing, it was the blessing of the Lord on him. It was the blessing of the Lord on him. Just a kid full of God looking for a place to work and and the Spirit of God. If that's not Joseph's story, I never heard it. Because that's about how old he was at that time. He's probably 19. He's out of high school. He's probably 19, maybe 20, you know. Same deal. Isn't that outstanding? Don't ever forget that story. Because it's so valuable and so absolute truth. He that doeth truth will come to the light that his deeds are wrought in God. Say amen, somebody. Glory to God. How much time I got there? Sir? Thank you. Now then, this opens our eyes . The blessing of the Lord is not just something that is in us. It is on us. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. We're still talking about the blessing of the Lord. Can you see that? Because he is the blessing. Spirit of God is the blessing. Jesus said, it's the Father that dwells within. He does the works. Amen. And then you remember, we read it last time in the book of Luke. As he was ascending, he blessed them. Well, it was the beginning of the church. And he released the blessing of Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you and we praise you today. And we worship and praise in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Thank you for blessing this student body. Thank you for blessing all on the network, all over the world, in the sound of my voice. And I thank you for anointing me and all of us in here today to hear, to speak accurately according to your anointing and your mercy and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow, toiling to eat, toiling to work. Let me remind you. You remember when Jesus said to Peter, they were washing their nets. He said to Peter, cast your nets. He said, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. This is extremely revealing. The blessing standing there talking to him. Peter's an Orthodox Jew. He knows these things. He understands this. But he's not thinking blessing. He's thinking hard work. He worked all night. Didn't catch anything. They're waiting breakfast. So he takes a rotten net out there because he thinks, I'm going to throw this thing 2 or 3 times and then, you know, we're not going to catch anything. And now for years, you know, I was just like everybody else, a net breaking, boat sinking load. That wasn't any big deal. But the boat, that is the only net that ever broke in the whole New Testament. I was sitting with Jerry Savelle in a church down in South Texas in Victoria, I believe. And the pastor was receiving the offering. I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, that was a rotten net. That's the reason Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He knew what he'd done. Now, but he was toiling. He was toiling, working hard. And there stood the blessing. Of course, he didn't know that. He just barely knew who he was at that time. He didn't have the revelation yet. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He should have. And I mean, the night before he healed his wife, mother. She was dying. That woman nearly dead. Raised her up. But still, you know, they're natural people and he's a natural man, they think. But look at the picture. The blessing of the Lord was standing in that boat with a smile on his face. Don't you know he's looking at Peter just laughing? Peter's all shook up and Jesus is thinking, boy, you ain't seen anything yet. The blessing. Say it. The blessing of the Lord. Brought the fish. To the boat. All of them. They just caught what they had nets enough to catch. Every fish in that Galilee came swimming up there and said, me, 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 Jesus, me, me, me. The blessing. The blessing, it's overflow. It's overflow. It's bounding overflow all the time, every time. If it's not fouled up with fear, doubt, and unbelief. Now, let's think about Job. I think we better turn over there. Oh, glory to God. Well, Brother Copeland, I don't ever get anything out of Job. Job just gets on to me. Look in the first chapter of the book of Job. And this opens up secrets in the book of Job. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hath thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. He's the richest man in the east. How did he get that way? The blessing of the Lord. And it became a hedge around him. The blessing wall. Say it. The blessing wall. Now, I want you to see something. Put forth thine hand now. Touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. That is the only sin in the book of Job. That's what Satan was after, and Job refused to commit it. His wife committed it. Why don't you curse God and die? Well, Satan had to put that on their mind, get them talking. He had to put that on their mind. But Job's blessed. He wouldn't do it. He flat wouldn't do it. Now, he made a whole lot of mistakes. But it didn't last but about 9 months. Job had a bad year and got back everything double. He became twice the richest man in the east. How? Blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it'll heal you of the boils. Woo! Glory be to God. Yes, amen. See how misunderstood the book of Job has been? Job, now here's another thing. I won't go to trouble looking it up. But now listen to this. He said, I had no rest, and well, I will look it up too. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Help. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the third chapter, 25th verse, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Well, of course it did. Now, when you study this book, you find out he made the same sacrifice every day for his children. Every day, instead of making that sacrifice and say, praise God, that's it. I roll all the care of them over on you, and I'm not bringing it up anymore. Doing what my mother did. She threw her Bible down on the kitchen table, and she said, I've prayed for him as long as I'm going to. I'm not physically able to any longer. I've been praying for him for 15 years. If he goes to hell, it's your fault. That's it. That is it. Gloria and I got saved 2 weeks later. And she said, somebody sent me, just the last couple of days, had some of my mother's tapes, and he posted it. I heard my own mother's voice 2 days ago. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? Glory to God. She said, I wished I'd have done, I could have done that 15 years ago if I'd known, but I didn't know. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's what he should have done, see, by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blessing. Faith in the blessing. All right. Now then, back to the book of Genesis, please. And I want to go to the I want to go to the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. There was a famine in the land. The first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. The Lord appeared unto him and said, don't go down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Now he knew what his dad Abraham had done. He went to Egypt, so he's just going to cut and go over there too. I will be with thee and will, read it. Bless. That was weak. Bless. Say it again. Bless. Capital B-L-E-S-S-U. I will bless you, for unto thee and unto thy seed. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The blessing of Abraham. I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the gospel. We studied that the last time we were together. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my laws. Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she's my sister, for he feared to say she's my wife. Now, well, let's go ahead and read verse 8. It came to pass, when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window, saw, and behold, Isaac caressing, is the original word, caressing Rebekah, his wife. Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is your wife. And you said, she's my sister. And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife will surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year in famine. In the same year, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great, went forward and grew until he became very great. Now, the complete Jewish Bible said he became very rich indeed. The blessing of the Lord. In famine. Isaac departed there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. They hit an aquifer. A spring of water, gushing water. The herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water's ours. And he called the name of the well Esk, because they strove with it. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from there and digged another well. Now, look what the blessing is doing. Look what the blessing is doing. He's digging those wells and they're taking them. Well, that's exactly what God intended for him to do. That's what he intended for him to do. It broke that famine. But now I want you to see something. Now keep your eye out for this now. He removed from there and digged another well, for they strove in and called it Rehoboth. And he said, from now the Lord hath made for us, we shall be fruitful. We shall be fruitful. We shall be fruitful. We shall be fruitful. Be fruitful. Multiply. We shall be fruitful. And he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I'm the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I'm with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. Now, Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of the army, and said unto him, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and sent me away from thee? Now back up to the 16th verse. Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us. Thou art much mightier than us. The Chumash refers to it like this. Everything he had, his home was bigger than the palace. Now here's what I read in the Chumash, and I'll tell you in just a moment. Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye unto me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you? They said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with you. Now here's what the Chumash said. All the fruit trees dried up. The famine was still there. It was the blessing that had it stopped. Everything was blooming. Everything that looked like the famine was gone, but it wasn't. It had just overwhelmed it. And he left. See, this sounds like this all happened in 2 weeks, but there's a lot of time in here. It said the fruit trees dried up. Everything dried up. And they said, uh-oh, we killed the golden goose. We got to get him back in here, and we're going to have to take the army in there and let him know, hey, nobody going to take your wells away from you anymore. And there's something else here that's very important. I'll show you when we get there. They said, we saw certainly that the Lord is with you. And we said, let there be now an oath between us, or a covenant, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes, or early. See, betimes, that means before time started that day. So they got up about daylight. In the morning, they made a feast, and they did eat and drink. You don't make covenants after you've been drinking all day. You make stupid deals. You don't make covenant with somebody. You don't enter covenant with bankers. You don't enter covenant with people you don't know. You don't do that. How much time we got, Tim? That's just perfect. It came to pass the same day, they swore to one another. Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day. What day?
Same.
The same day Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beer Sheba until this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took his wife, and so forth. The blessing of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Wake up to what, just stir yourself up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Just stand up and just stir yourself up. Just go in, God. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I said I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Woo! We're right here in Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Praise God for the student body. Would you give a welcome to all of them here today? And you give a welcome to all of them here today. Yeah. And you may be sitting right there next semester. It won't be too long. It'll take this whole sanctuary for I mean it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for insight, ideas, and concepts of the life of faith, the life that we live in Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you for it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something that in the 1950s that such a misunderstanding that God and poverty are tied together with a short rope. That's a live mail. Brother Hagin was preaching in a church, and he was down in front and of the platform, And he just jumped up on the platform. And just as he got up there, he saw he was about to plant his foot into somebody's tape recorder. And he went to dodge it, and he fell off, fell over on the platform and knocked his elbow out of place. And man, this thing is hanging down here. So he just did this, finished his message, laid hands on all the sick, and there was a nurse there in the meeting, and she said, Dr. Kosicki is usually on call this time of night. And so I'll call him, and sure enough, he was, and they went down there. And he told him, he said, now, this is worse than a break, because I'll have to put you to sleep and put all of that back in place. Now, he was just, they kept him there overnight. And the next afternoon, he's just sitting there in bed, and Miss Aretha had just left his room. And he's just sitting there praying in the spirit and so forth. And he heard somebody walking down the hall. He heard footsteps on the hall floor. And his door was open about 6-8 inches. And he realized, whoever it is coming in here. And he turned over there and looked. And he looked down, and he saw a white robe and a pair of Roman sandals. And he looked up, and it was Jesus. And he walked in there, talked to him about an hour and a half about the prophets. He went over, this is an open vision, pulled the chair up there to the foot of his bed. Now, here's one of the things that he said to him. He said, I am not opposed to my children being rich. He said, I am opposed to them being covetous. Now, Brother Hagin said, man, that, of course, he'd never heard anything like that. And he further said, if you will listen to my spirit and follow his leading, I will make you rich. What is rich? Full supply. What was he referring to? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no toil with it. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news, isn't it? Now then, let's go over to, we found out yesterday about sowing in famine. We found out from Job that the conversation between God and Satan. Satan said, does he serve you for nothing? You've built a wall around him. You've blessed him. The blessing wall was up and around him. God didn't break it down. Job did. Through fear and instead of faith. But when he got over on his faith, I mean, God delivered him instantly and doubled him. Well, poor old Job. Poor as Job's turkey. Didn't mention anything about Job having any turkeys. He did have a lot of other. And it lasted a year or less. And he doubled him. He doubled him in everything. Amen. The double. Zechariah 9:11. The double. I declare to you the double glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll take some of that my own self. Glory to God. Now, let's go over to the book of... Well, let's stop by the book of Ephesians first. I want to read this to you. I quoted it, but listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn there, please. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which... Don't let the word saint throw you. Those are just born again people. The word saint means separated. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed. Blessed. Be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All you had to do is get born again and take hold of it. Glory to God. Yes, amen. Whoo, blessed and didn't know it. Oh, but now you know it. Bless, bless, bless. Don't ever watch Bill Winston right as you go to bed. Don't be doing that. I made that mistake. Oh, I actually did this. I've got him on my DVR, and I had it, and I'm watching that, and I got, I'm watching him this morning on the treadmill before I came, and got me all gunned up to come over here. I jumped up in the middle of the bed and started stomping around and jumped off the side of the bed and started dancing around the room. I couldn't sleep for Now, Bill Winston, Dr. Bill Winston, has majored on the blessing. Now, here again, we talked about this day before yesterday, but let's go back to the African-American mentality, which was cursed. Man, I'm cursed. We're cursed. We'll never get out of this. And and I'm telling you, that Bill Winston has got the wildest. I tell you, I loved preaching in that church. White folks don't know how to have church, man. Well, they do around here, you know. But man alive, you can't quit. You throw the clocks away. You ain't no way you can quit, man. They pull the preach out of you until you just stand there. The blessing of the Lord. Blessing of the Lord. Blessing of the Lord. Blessing of the Lord. And he's taught it. The Joseph School of Business. I highly recommend it. He's taught that. And the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. And when he rented that little building out in that kind of half-dead shopping center. Ain't no wanted that. Nobody in town wanted a black church in that shopping center because it wouldn't pay taxes to the city. And then the Lord told him to buy the shopping center. Well, they sure didn't want him having that. That cuts everything out. But he starts preaching on the blessing, brother. And I'm telling you, it hit that congregation, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. The Joseph School of Business got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now, I'm telling you, I saw one young man's testimony. I mean, this kid come off of the street, and now he's a multimillionaire. Coming out of the Joseph School of Business. Joseph, you understand? Joseph, we've been talking about Joseph. Hallelujah. I am glad that Bill Winston called me his friend. I love that man. I love his family. Veronica, I'll tell you what, that is one praying woman. Thank you, Jesus, for people like that. Now, Book of Galatians, please. Let's start here. The third chapter And we will begin reading with verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, now remember we went through this last time, but I want you to pay really, really close attention. The scripture, in the beginning the Word's with God and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. Let's read it like this. And God, foreseeing, the scripture foreseeing, the Word foreseeing, that God would justify the heathen through faith, God preached before the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now we're not done. It's continuing here. This is the gospel. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's Deuteronomy 21:23. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us. Now, I want to make this clear, and you listen to me out there on online. We are no longer Gentiles. No, we are not Gentiles. Gentile means without God. We're not without God. No, we're not without God. Glory to God. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, that means that faith is going to have to be in operation. All right. Look at the fifth chapter. This is what he just got through talking about. Verse 29, and if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. By faith. Say by faith.
By faith.
By faith. 5:6. For Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are we getting anywhere with this? You're supposed to say yes, yes, yes. Now, in the 12th chapter, he has just laid out all nine of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit called the gifts of the Spirit. Now let's go to chapter 13. What did I say? Chapter 12, didn't I say that right? Okay. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. Are you looking? And have not agape. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. No love, no faith. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have faith, according to Mark 11:23, that I could remove mountains and have not agape, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I have give my body to be burned and have not agape, it profits me nothing, or my seed is dead. My seed's dead. Agape suffers long and is kind. Agape envies not. Agape vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I wanted you to see where that with that one little act, that one little deal by Satan can kill all nine of the gifts of the Spirit. Just kill them. And people not even know. Not even know what happened. And it's the small, unrepented acts of irritation. Well, that don't look like a big deal. It is when you've done it for years and years and years, and it builds up on the inside of your spirit. I was in Stroud, Oklahoma, many years ago, preaching there for Roy and Opal Sprague, glory to God, they're in heaven, they have been a long time. And I was sitting up in the middle of the bed and just getting ready for my evening service, had my legs crossed up there just praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I just saw it in the Spirit, this pipe. It looked like it was maybe 3 or 4 feet long, and it was about a 45-degree angle in front of my face. It came right down here in front of my face. Looked like it was about, maybe 5-inch pipe, possibly. And there was, looked like something coming out of a fire hose, man, just gushing. Exactly the same size as that pipe. But, and I physically felt it. Coming out of the end of this thing was just this little, I had the sensation that I could feel it in my face. I said, Lord, what is that? He said, those are the unrepented offenses that have built up over a period of years in your spirit, and now they've become very important, and I can't move through your spirit. He said, that's my glory coming down to the end of that pipe, and you're not walking in love, and I can't get through there. So I sat there a moment and I said, Lord, like what? Immediately I saw there was a, when you turned in to come down our street, was out by the highway, and there would be people that had set up tables out there and sell fruit and stuff. And I was at home and Gloria had stopped by there pick up a sack of cantaloupes. And we like cantaloupes, especially me. I really like cantaloupes. And then she set those cantaloupes down, big sack full of them, man, must have been like this. Set them in two beautiful cantaloupe on the top. And I opened them, every one of the rest of them were bad. I said, I'm going back down there. No, Gloria said, I said, yeah. Well, I wanted to go down there and spank him, you know. But she said, no, you don't need to be doing that. Well, you know, I forgot about it. He reminded me of that. He said, you hadn't repented of that. He said, there wasn't nothing but love about that. And it's in there. and a lot of other stuff, and a lot of other stuff, and a lot of other stuff. That didn't look important to me at the time. But hey, come on. I mean, that's big stuff. And it clogged me up. It had me so clogged up. See? And I'm tongue talking. I'm ministering by the Spirit. I'm doing all these things and getting some results. But nowhere near what I should be getting in the meetings and laying hands on the sick and everything else. I had to repent of that and clean my pipe. Amen. Can you see it? So he said, agape doesn't behave itself unseemly. Agape seeks not her own. Agape is not easily provoked. Agape thinketh no evil. Agape rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Agape bears all things. Agape believes all things. Agape hopes all things, endures all things, and agape never fails. Love never fails. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, and we praise you, sir. We bless you. My, what a week we've had. What a wonderful time in the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord Jesus, we give you and your name all of the glory, all of the credit for every word that's spoken, every deed that is done, every wonderful miracle that has taken place. And I know they have. All throughout this radio and television audience. And we thank you for it and we praise you. For there will be times when Satan comes to steal the word, as I said in Mark 4, 14 through 20. But he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. For my words of my blessing will rise up within you, and like Job of old, my angels will surround about you and build a blessing wall about you, and you'll walk in that behind that blessing wall like you were in a great bubble of protection. For the blessing of the Lord is above you. The blessing of the Lord is below you. The blessing of the Lord is behind you. The blessing of the Lord is to your right and to your left. So rejoice and have no fear, for the blessing is here, saith God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go back to the book of Galatians, where we were yesterday. Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, back up once more to that third chapter. Christ, 13th verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of Abraham, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now notice, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Faith in what? Faith in His Word. Faith in His name. Faith in His blood. Yes, all of that. But all of that is provided by the blessing. It was the blessing that raised Jesus from the dead. The blessing is the manifestation of His power. The blessing is a person, and His name is Jesus. But Jesus said, it's the Father that dwells within. He does the work. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now we're back to the day of creation. The three of them at work. It looks like there's only one. And that's the reason for certain, people thinking that it's just Jesus. That don't put that down. No. You're not but just one click off. And the Lord's certainly not going to get on you because you don't want anything but Jesus. But all things, say all things.
Were created
for
and by
him. Amen. But now what you have to understand, always before the foundation of the world, the plan I'll break this up in two parts. The plan was for the Spirit of God to be moving on the face of the deep. It's the Father, the words, 14th chapter of John, 10th verse. The words that I speak unto you are not mine. It is the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. To summarize, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Now that's always been and always will be. That didn't start when he got here on earth. So now the picture of the creation is the Father saying to Jesus, light be. Jesus said, light be. And the Spirit of God, moving on the face of the deep, brought it to pass. First chapter of John backs that up. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing created without him or his Word. Amen. Jesus is called the Word. It's always been that way and always will be that way. Now, I said that to you in order for you to get the concept of, oh, Jesus, thank you. Faith works by love. Who is God? So, without love, now wait a minute, hold it. Without love, my tongue talking is a lot of noise, right? Without God, well, of course. Dumb. I mean, come on. Forgive me. Everybody in here is a dummy when it comes. You know, we still nothing. We ain't nothing but about like that when we should be like that. Amen. Oh, we know so little. I know so little. I get to think about how little I know. And I go, ooh. I've learned a little in the last 52 years, but I'm going to get a lot more of this in the next 38. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, faith. Thank you, Lord. Help me with this, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Oh, you're going to like this. Go over to the book of James. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oldest book in the New Testament. Chapter 5. Now, we're talking about the blessing of the Lord, right? Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he've committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. And I thought the prayer of faith, the prayer of calling things that be not as though they were, and it didn't, I don't know. Well, of course, that was worth the prayer of love, and so on. But it just kind of scratched it in my spirit. It didn't satisfy. And then I saw it. The prayer of faith, they shall anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Whoa. It's faith in that name. Faith in the name itself. That's the name of love. That's the name of the blessing. Faith in that name. Come on. Faith in that name. Faith in the love, 1 John said. We talked about that last time we were together. Faith in that love. Believing the love. We've known and believed the love. Glory to God. He loves me whether I feel like it or not. And when I don't feel like he's with me, that's when I better, bless God, believe he is. When the devil's ripping and tearing every place that he can, that's when I just lean back and believe the love. Glory to God. Thank God for persecution. Glory to God for persecution. Because it ain't me. I'm being persecuted for the word's sake. Amen. Satan's trying to stop the word. He can't stop me with feelings. There was a time he sorely upset me, but I've learned. I've learned better. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. We were in Pensacola, Florida. We were down there for 3 weeks. They bought all the tapes we had. And so I had them ship me some tapes. And we went to the post office to get them. And they had run over my tape, my box. They were destroyed. And all I had was just tire mark across. And I thought, destroyed all my tapes, man. And it was just raining. And I went by the little tent we had set up out there. And, the tent poles were stuck in that sand. And big pools of water started getting up in that tent. And I ran up under that tent and I got me a broom and I'm trying to, and the tent fell on me. I mean, the thing just collapsed on me, and I come out there, I'm just soaking. Well, I look like a rat, the drowned rat. And I come out there, Gloria's in the car, and I am just hee-hawing. And she said, what are you laughing about? I said, I'm telling you, it's such a thrill to be a threat. And I'm standing there soaking to the skin, laughing, standing right out there in the rain. And all of a sudden, this telephone guy drives up out there. And he comes up, and a little bit later, it had stopped raining for a little bit. He came out, and he said, is this your gospel tent? I said, well, it belongs to the church that I'm preaching for. And he said, man, I can fix this. He's a believer. I said, really? How can you fix this? Oh, he said, I'll fix this thing where a hurricane can't blow that tent down. He took, when you see a telephone pole and you see that wire coming back down this way to hold the pole when the line is going, stretching it the other way. Well, in Florida, they got the same problem. So they use a stake about that long that's got an auger on the end of it. And it looked kind of like a chainsaw, but he just hooked it on the end of that thing. Beep. That's all there was to it. All the tent pegs that threw those little old posts away. Beep, beep, beep. Boom, boy, that tent strutted up there like that. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. Well, of course, the other guys had come running out there because they knew the tent was going to fall. And got out there, and there he was, and boy, everybody got busy and started stretching that tent. And the sun came out and dried it out, and we had a hoop to do. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. You know, a born-again telephone man just happened to be there when the tent fell. I didn't know nothing about the blessing of the Lord back then. Amen. Oh, faith in God. Man, I'm glorying our boat, man. We were operating in the faith of God. And God just, you know, he just helped our little broke selves. And we just kept coming. And we're still just coming on, glory to God. How many everywhere? Any of you at Branson? Yeah. Healing school. Saturday morning, a first. Gloria and I taught healing school together, holding hands. I tell you, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. And Gloria, oh, you know, it seemed like about every 3 or 4 minutes, she another wise crack out of glory in there. And everybody just crack up. I said, that woman now has given me. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord got Gloria, niece, and me together. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. I said the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich and he had no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of Abraham is ours. By faith. Faith in that name. Faith in the name of Jesus. Now we're going to close this up on Mark 11:22. Yeah. Yes, thank you. How much time we got? That's perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in love. Have faith in the blessing. Have faith in the word. Hallelujah. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be, remember what I told you about the word be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, those words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, start believing. Start believing. All right. And you shall have them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, John chapter 20. 20th chapter of John's gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 26, or 24. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not. See, it's an act of his will. I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he saith to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's by faith is the way the blessing is released. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This is blessing law. The giving comes first. The giving comes, the sowing comes first. You don't go to the stove and say, give me some heat and I'll put in some wood. It don't work like that. You can't do that. You can't get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. Impossible. Impossible. He's no longer doubting Thomas. Glory to God. He's blessed, Thomas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, get it, Hannah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's praise God. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Oh, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Glory be to the name. Glory be to the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the name. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Let's praise and worship. The blessing of the Lord is here. The glory of the Lord is here. The glory is here. Oh, I'm telling you, the glory is here right now. This place is filled with the glory of the Lord. The glory is here. The glory is here. Anybody in here that needs healing for your body, just reach up and take it. Say, I take it. It's mine right now. Glory. I'm blessed. Glory to God. I'm free of all unforgiveness, and I just receive my healing. Online, you just receive it. Watching on the network, you receive it. Take it right now. Just take it. Say, it's mine. Glory to God. I'll never be without it again. He's taken sickness from the midst of me. Glory to God. I'll never be sick another day in my life. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I haven't been sick in so long. I don't remember. Well, I kind of remember the last time. Well, I remember the last time I had symptoms of the flu. It was in ministers' conference a couple of years ago, and it lasted about 5 minutes. And we're out of time. Been a good week. Hey, Jeremy.
The blessing of the Lord is available to anyone and everyone who has made Jesus the Lord of your life. That's how it begins. And if Jesus is not yet your Savior, if you've not yet called on Him as Lord, then this blessing that you're hearing about today, it's not yet yours, but it's so simple, it's so easy, and today is the day of your salvation. I know many people watching this, you may be born again, maybe you're shouting right along with this congregation, and you know about this blessing, but there might be somebody watching this or listening to it right now, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. It's easy. It's simple. Just pray this out loud and mean it from your heart and say, Jesus, be my Lord. Say, Father in heaven, I come to you and I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. He lived for me, died for me, and rose again for me. Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I receive your forgiveness. Old things have passed away. I am brand new in you, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you are saved, you are born again, and the blessing of the Lord now belongs to you. And all of heaven rejoices because you've come home. And everybody here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries is excited about it too. And we want to hear from you. We've got a free gift we'd like to send to you. It's called our Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. There are a couple of brochures that we're going to send you just to help you find out what's in the Word of God for you. Find out how to read and study your Bible. So if you'd like this free salvation package, just go to kcm.org, request it, and we'll get it out to you right away.
And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God's desire for us is that we be blessed. His plan for mankind has never wavered since first speaking these words to Adam in the garden. Living in the Blessing includes 6 life-changing messages from Kenneth Copeland on 2 DVDs or 1 MP3 audio disc, also available as a digital download. As you learn to live in the blessing, it will change everything around you. Direction, security, and favor will manifest and increase as the Lord brings overflow to your life. Every day, all the time. The same blessing placed on Abraham is on you today. Unleash the blessing in your life and unlock the Garden of Eden everywhere you go.
Request Living in the Blessing, a free offer from Kenneth Copeland Ministries today. Available on MP3 disc or DVD, also available as a digital download. Discover how to live in the covenant promises of the blessing. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call toll free 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Partners, thank you so much for believing God with us and sowing financially into this ministry. It's making it possible to have victory campaigns like this one that you've just seen, where we can preach the Word of God totally free to the people. There's no admission fee. They get to come, get built up with the Word absolutely free of charge. And partners, your seed into this ministry is making all of this happen. That's awesome. That is a demonstration of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Now, today is offering day on the broadcast, and I want to read this to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, and it says, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you've been taught the word today or all this week, the response to it should be, okay, Lord, how do I respond to what I've heard? How do I share in all good things? And as partners with this ministry, as many of you are, and maybe some of you are watching and you're not yet a partner with this ministry, go before the Lord. Find out if you've got an assignment to stand alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to preach this uncompromised word of faith all over the world. And if you do, if the Lord's leading you into this, then respond in faith on this scripture right here. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the giving of the people. We receive it. We call them blessed, increased, and multiplied in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, before I go, I want to remind you that the Sacramento Victory Campaign is still going on. You can watch it live right now, kcm.org. Be sure to join us on the broadcast next week for Healing School taught by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland together. It's awesome. You do not want to miss this. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. This is the time for miracles. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.